During the Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah, we're up to the third chapter of the second Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina, Sgan HaKohanim Omer. Rabbi Chanina, who was second in command over the Kohanim, he used to say, there was the Kohen Gadol, and then there was the Sgan. The Sgan was like the Kohen Gadol's right-hand man. He was the next in line. So he said the following, Havei mitpalel bishloma shel malchut. You should daven for the peace of the kingdom. She'il malei mora'a, that if not for the fear of the kingdom, ishet re'ehu chayim belau, man would swallow up his friend alive. The only thing that's keeping us from doing that is the fear of the kingdom. So that's what Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim taught us. The word il malei means if not for. But the word il malay in Shas is sometimes spelled with a yud at the end, not with an aleph at the end. And then it means if yes. Okay? Il malay, if yes. And sometimes it says il malay lo, if yes not. Okay? So il malay with a yud is if. Il malay is like ilu. Yeah? Where do we encounter that? We're going to do that with Hashem next week in Kiddush Advana. We say, "In malei lo zachu Yisrael lakbil pnei avim shbashamayim ela pam achat b'chodesh dayam." If the Jews would not come before their Creator, but for once a month, that would be enough. We come before Hashem at Birkat HaChodesh, right? At Kiddush Levana. So what are you saying, "In malei lo"? Doesn't the word "in malei" mean if not? If not, not? No. The word "in malei" over there is spelled with a yod. "In malei lo." If, and then lo, if not. Okay? So Rabbi Chanina, back to our Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina taught, pray for the peace of the kingdom, because if not for the fear of the kingdom, people, man, would swallow up his friend alive. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion Omer, another Rabbi Chanina, this is Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. He was Rabbi Meir's father-in-law. Okay, his daughter, Bruria, was Rabbi Meir's wife. So Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion was one of the 10 martyrs who was tortured to death. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion says, "Shnaim shiyoshvim ben benim divrei Torah." If two are sitting, meaning that they're together, it's not just they're passing; they're sitting together, and there's no words of Torah between them. Harizim moshav leitzim. So that's considered a situation as though there are just jesters sitting there. Now the word "let's" is really a derogatory form of joker, meaning there are jokers who can be positive people. And a "let's" is really someone who's a negative joker, a person who's who's non-productive, who's mocking, right? So ordinarily we would think that, you know, if they're not talking Torah, it's not positive, but it's not negative. So Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion says, nope. If two people are sitting together and there's no Torah between them, that's negative. Why? Because the verse says, "Umoshav leitzim lo yashav." So that's really an interesting derivation, because that pasuk is describing a praiseworthy human being. The pasuk says a praiseworthy human being is careful. The first pasuk can tell, right? Ashrei yaish asher lo alach batzat chatayim. Batzat Rishayim, praised is the person who does not go in the counsel of the wicked. Uv Moshav Leitzim Lo Yashav, right? Uv Der Chateim Lo Amad, he doesn't stand with the sinners, and he doesn't sit with the jokers. So that's what the Pasuk's talking about. Praiseworthy is the person who avoids this type of companionship. But Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion is doing a play on words. Uv Moshav Leitzim Lo Yashav. In the presence of jokers, Hashem doesn't dwell. It's not talking about Hashem, it's talking about the person, right? That person doesn't do any of these three things. And Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion is applying it as though it would say that. Yes?
What exactly defines them as a joker? Say you have two friends who, that mean when they're more joking around, so long as it's not taken too out of line, but it's more of a light atmosphere than, you know, being the Ritzini and as if...
let's hear him out. Let's hear him out. Let's hear Rabbeinu Yonah, okay? So we'll just finish the Mishnah before we hear Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, the Shnayim Shiyoshvim Oskim B'Torah, B'Divrei Torah, if two people sit and deal in Torah, in words of Torah, Shechina Shruya B'Nehem, then the Shechina is steeped between them. Shneimal, the verse says, As Nidbu Yirei Hashem Mishel Reu, V'Akshev Hashem Ha'ishma, V'Ektev Sefer Zikron Nefanav L'Rei Hashem U'Choshvei Shmo. Then the two God-fearing people spoke to one another, and Hashem listened, and He paid attention, and He wrote it to be remembered before Him as a commemoration of these two people's conversation. In Li'el Hashnaim, the pasuk seems to say only two people talking Torah. Minayin afilu chad sheyoshev osek b'Torah, shakadosh baruch hu kovea lo sachar. How do you know that even if you're alone and you're dealing in Torah, you could be sitting on the bus, dreaming, daydreaming, playing those games on your cell phone? I want to tell you a secret. Once upon a time, approximately a year and a half ago, okay, long, long time ago, okay, people used to be embarrassed to be in front of other people playing little games. There once was a time like this where people would have shame to sit on a bus and play childish games. I don't exactly understand what people are doing with these balls and these games on the bus, but it's interesting to note that like a whole generation passed in the last year and a half, where today people unabashedly sit on a bus and they're willing to let everyone around them see that they're playing these games that have no meaning and no nothing. You know, so there was once a time where people would be embarrassed to do that, adults. I'm saying it was obvious children play games, but there was once a time where adults would be embarrassed to waste their time like this. At least if someone thinks you're writing an email. I remember when people used to sit and guard their phone, and if you sat behind them, you could see they were playing games. So today, that shame is gone. A year and a half passed, whole generation must have passed, and there's a new world today. So a person's sitting on a bus, and instead of wasting his time, he's actually being productive. So Hashem sets aside wages for him. Shneimal, as the verse says, Yeshev badad v'idom ki natal alav. That's another good question, how that pasuk indicates what he just taught us. We'll analyze that when we get there with Rabbeinu Yonah. And now you gentlemen have to make a decision. We got 15 minutes left, and I think that this is a very apt Mishnah to conclude the Zman with. I was intending to do some Ran, but I think this is more important. So we'll deal with the Mishnah, yes? Is that okay? We'll learn Rabbeinu Yonah on this Mishnah. Okay. Rabbi Chanina, Sgan HaKohanim, Omer, Vim Tolel, Bishloma Shel Malchuchim, Lemora'ah, Shikashe Aleinu, Rabbi Chanina, Sgan HaKohanim, taught us, pray for the peace of the kingdom. Because if it wasn't for the fear of the authorities, that they're tough on us, and that's why we're scared of them, Ishetreu Chaim Belau, man would swallow up his friend alive. Zeu Ainyan, Ratza Lomar, what he's trying to tell us is, Sheyesh Adam Nitpalel Al Shlom Kol HaOlam. Rabbeinu Yonah gives us a phenomenal new pshat. Don't think Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim was talking to you about your locale. We're talking about pray for the peace of the whole world. And you should be concerned about other people's pain. That's the way the righteous are. King David says, my enemies, look at how they try to destroy me. But I, when they were ill, I wore sackcloth. I fasted over them. I cared for their suffering. A person shouldn't pray for himself alone. A person should pray that everyone should live in peace. It should bother us that there are people suffering in Crimea, in Ukraine, in Africa, in Syria. It should bother us. A person should daven not only for himself. And if there's peace in the kingdom, then there's peace in the world. So you should know that every person has to pray for world peace. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah understands the pasuk, the Mishnah. Pray for the peace of the kingdom. It's necessary to have their fear. It's not necessary to have wars. The wars and the persecution and the suffering are needless. Rabbeinu Yonah turns the Mishnah upside down from other commentaries. Other commentaries say the Mishnah is telling you, If there's a czar in Russia and he's cruel and he's sending people to Siberia and you're tempted to pray that he should fall, don't pray for his downfall, because the ensuing revolution is worse. Anarchy is far more dangerous than an order, even under a terrible despot. That's how many commentaries learn Rabbi Hanina's Gana Kohanim. He's saying you're better off with a kingdom. Don't assume that anarchy is better. Without the kingdom, people swallow up one another alive. That's the standard interpretation of the Mishnah. Comes Rabbeinu Yonah and says, no, totally new pshat. He says, pray for peace in each kingdom. Pray for world peace. Pray for other countries' peace. Yes, there must be a certain element of fear and respect of the authorities, but there doesn't have to be more than that. And when there's more than that, and when there's suffering more than that in the world, that should bother you and you should pray about it. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah understands the first part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah. Yes?
When it comes to that, are we supposed to just have a general... Okay, you see in Syria videos of the Islamic State butchering people who don't agree with them in terrible ways. Are we supposed to, upon praying for that situation to improve and peace to come, is it supposed to be general that, you know, like Hashem's like lo beseder be'olam hazeh, like, you know, tidabel bezeh, you know, however it should, very vague and unspecific, or are you supposed to give ideas to Hashem as to what he should be doing?
Okay. So sometimes, first of all, a prayer should be specific, and prayer has to be respectful. But a person can sometimes say, "Ahav tzedek v'tisna resha." Rabbon Shom, you like righteousness, you hate wickedness, you hate cruelty. Help us eradicate cruelty from the world. Hashem, you control. There are things here that we can't change, but you can change. You could give people the desire to do tshuva. You could arouse people to view the world a different way. You know the suffering better than we know the suffering. We have a limited scope, and yet we wish that you would change what's happening in the world. You said, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. You created man, and you taught us that you love humanity. So then care for the humanity that you created. Meaning there are ways of praying in which a person says, Rabbon Shalom, look, from your psukim I'm turning to you and I'm asking, have compassion on mankind, on humanity. And part of the compassion, as we find, is Hashev levovdehen lovdecha. Give it within their hearts to return to you. It says that if you walk by a church, you're supposed to say, Beit ge'in yisach Hashem. Hashem put down the house of the arrogant, ve'atzev gvul almana, and resurrect the borders of the widowed one. Meaning Israel's were widowed. We no longer we. It's as though we're widowed. Now we don't have our sovereignty here completely yet, so we do wait for that to return. But we also say v'ashev lev ovdehem ne'ovdecha, and give it within their heart to return to your service. We want them also to do tshuva. We do want the world to return. Yes?
I thought we say a line from Elena that they bow to like vanity and nothingness.
Okay.
So.
But we do conclude with Hashem Lev of them, no of Decha. Okay, back to Rabbeinu Yonah. רבי חנניה בן טרדיון אומר, שניים שהיו יושבים ואין ביניהם דברי תורה, הרי זה מושב לצין. רבי חנניה בן טרדיון says, if two people were sitting and there were no words of Torah between them, that's what's called a moshav leitzim, a squatting ground for mockers. Yeah, that's what, they're just sitting and there's no Torah. שני עניינים נקראו ליצנות. So this addresses Ari's question. When we speak about ליצנות, when we speak about negative humor, humor that the Torah views negatively, what's called leitzanut? Okay, two things, says Rabbeinu Yonah. Ha'echad, lashon hara. When people speak bad about other people sit down, and they're going to start talking bad about other people. Isn't he annoying? Isn't she fat? then yeah, you guys know what Lashon Hara is. At least you've learned about it. Ha'amdaber al chavero lachlimo v'levazoto ben anashim v'lachziko nivze b'inehim. When a person speaks badly about his friend, either to embarrass him or to cause him to be low in other people's eyes. That's one of the more heavy sins that a person can sin. I want you to remember this, because sometimes you're going to be sitting with your spouses. You'll be married one day. You'll be sitting with your wife, and you'll have nothing to talk about. Just talk about other things. Don't talk about people. That's not an opening to start talking Lashon Hara. Talk to her about what you learned today, what you aspire for. Talk to her about positive things. Don't let the conversation go there. The and this is a trait that's just a cause for evil. And that's what King Solomon said in his wisdom, an arrogant person who purposely makes fun. So that we call him a letz, a mocker, but he's really purposely, intentionally putting down other people. When a person's mocking other people, when he's saying Lashon Hara, so he's incorporating two traits. He's doing things with intent, it's zadon, he's purposely hurting other people, and he's being arrogant. What's a zed? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, when a person purposely speaks about someone else in front of other people, puts him down in front of everyone. The yahir, hu b'machshava, arrogance is within a person's own thoughts. Part of why we speak about a person that way is because we really look down on him. So that's arrogance, that's in the mind. So you combine the two, and that's when we speak Lashon Hara. So when a person is crowned with these two wonderful traits, the arrogance to look down at others, the intentional enmity to speak badly about others, that's when you call a person a letz. So you want to know sense of humor? He's not talking about regular humor. He's talking about put downs, knocking someone. You might think, okay, he's speaking improperly, but he won't do anything wrong. That's why Shlomo tells you it doesn't work that way. When people speak badly about other people, ultimately they feel comfortable doing things that are hurtful to other people. When a person allows himself to talk that way, then you should know that he's developing cruelty within himself, and then out of anger and cruelty, a person can do terrible things. The arrogance and putting down other people opens the gateways to... By the way, if you think about what's happening, what did the Nazis do, what's ISIS doing, when you demonize people, when we can say they're worthless because they don't believe what I believe, so then that's that lethal combination. How can ISIS be so cruel? Because if only I'm right, and they don't have a right to life because they're not like me, so then I can do anything to them. It begins with the theory. He says that when people are willing to put down other people openly in front of other people, that's one type of leitzanut. He says, you want to know what leitz is? There are two types of leitz. One is a person who's willing to openly put down other people, speak in front of other people and put them down. Okay. So that's one type of leitz. Shlomo wanted to comfort those who are shamed and they stay silent, they don't answer. He wanted to comfort them and he said, "Im laletzim u'yalitz, don't worry, Hashem deals with these people too. He pays them back in kind. When people are humble, Hashem ultimately gives them charm." Hashem says, don't worry, I can put them down. And when people do this, they don't realize that they're losing more than you're losing. Very often, just being silent, the person will self-destruct. And when a person doesn't enter the battle, he walks away with humility. Sometimes that's the route to having charm in the eyes of people. So obviously, different scenarios, you have to invoke different tools. But there are scenarios where you're not going to win by fighting. So, fine, you walk away. אבל הכתוב שאמר הוא מושב ליצים לא ישב. So he says, that's the worst type of letz. The letz who's openly, cruelly putting down other people. But what are we talking about here? That's not what we're talking about in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, if two people are innocently sitting down, and they're just not talking Torah, so that's called breeding ground of leitzanut. What's that talking about? The pasuk that says "Moshav leitzim lo yishav lo diber min aleitzanim shamanu." That pasuk isn't talking about that type of mockery. Kizer o bichlal chataim o bichlal reshim amurim rosh pasuku. He says that type of cruelty that's discussed earlier in the pasuk. Remember, the pasuk began by saying, "Praised is a person who didn't go with the wicked." Okay, so we spoke about the wicked. That's not what he's talking about here when he says he doesn't sit down with the jokers. Ela moshav leitzim kara hefich min mash ketuv acharav, ki mitorat Hashem chetzo v'torto yigei yomam b'naila. David HaMelech says, praised is a person who doesn't go with sinners, doesn't go with the wicked, doesn't stand with sinners, doesn't sit with jokers, but rather desires Hashem's Torah and deals and thinks about it day and night. על העושים ישיבה של קבע, על דעת לדבר בדברי הווי, ובוטלים דברי תורה שפורקים עולם מעליה. Guys, we're entering בין הזמנים. So you're supposed to take a break. And there's excellent times now. It's the season. I know it's a little cold today, but it's the nicest time of year. You have to be careful because there are a lot of security warnings. I know my kids were supposed to go on trips. And the government insisted that one of the trips, they were going to have two people with guns, and they said, nope, you need someone with a long arm too, not just a rifle or something, a long weapon, not just two guns. And there's an elementary school going on a trip. We're not talking about going into deep territory. And take it seriously, because like I said to my son this morning, I said, if the government's telling you you have to have a long weapon, I'm not sure you're going on that trip. I want to understand where they're going, what's going on here. Because Rav Binyamin Herling was murdered on a class trip with his kids. You know, you have to know what you're doing around there, and we don't know. But there's very good reason to believe that there are going to be a lot of uprisings coming up now.
Because of this time of year?
No, because Netanyahu won the elections, and Obama's saying we should go back to the 67 borders, so right now the Palestinians, it's logical that they're going to want to flex their muscles and say, look, we're persecuted, look what they're doing to us, etc. So you got to pay attention to what you're doing, but you also need to take a break. He's not talking about taking a break. He's saying, sometimes a person just saying, let me take the yoke of Torah off of me. There's a person who says, I'm taking a break and I'm keeping the yoke of Torah on me. Part of my service of Hashem is that I need a break. I need to sleep. I need to be with my friends. I need to go on trips. I need to see Eretz Yisrael. So then my trips will reflect that. I'm going to be in touch with the friends that will build and help me develop what I've learned. Ben Azmanim can be the unraveling of everything you've built the whole year. Ben Azmanim can be the time that you solidify everything you built the whole year. If you choose your friends wisely and choose your trips wisely, choose how you invest your time, and don't kill yourself if you didn't wake up for davening every day. Try to make sure you put on tefillin every day. Try to make sure you remember to daven, and hopefully you remember mincha and ma'ariv too. But try to have something you learn every day for a minute, if not more than that. At least you have 1 minute a day you learn some halacha. But that's what I'm saying. He's saying when people sit down, and their intent is, let's sit down and take off Torah off our shoulders. I need a break from Torah. Oh, you need a break, but let's take a break with Torah. You don't have to talk Torah. But am I the Torah human being? Is that the type of person I am? If that's the type of person I am, then the type of break I'm going to take is going to reflect that. Then I'm not going to go into a bar that's not modest. If for whatever reason I'm going to go out with friends, I'll go out with friends in a place that is modest. There are kosher places to go. I don't mean the food's kosher. I mean the atmosphere's kosher. Yaakov, let's just finish. Obviously, the food.
How can you make a prayer for Obama that...
Wait, we're out of time?
We don't want him to be in power up to the United States like in a nice way. כי אם בשעה שאין להם עסק מלאכה, גם לא צריכים לדבר בענייניהם וקובעים מושב דבר בטלים, הרי זה נקרא מושב ליצים.
If people just say, hey, we got off time, let's just shoot the breeze. So then you could talk about worthwhile things in life. And they're wasting their time for no good reason. He says, that's people who could be spending their time learning and are not. But we're going off to the break. And right now, that's part of keeping Torah. Rav Shach, who was the head of the top yeshiva in Bnei Brak, when there was the Yom Kippur War, so they decided that the yeshiva can't go off on break because the soldiers are going out to war, so the yeshiva guys are going to come back and take their time off. So it's not nice. People are going to say they should be davening and learning Torah for the merits of the soldiers. So they decided they're keeping the yeshiva guys in, and the guys stayed in yeshiva and learned. And then they took a short break for Sukkot, and then they came back and continued learning. And Rav Shach is quoted as having said that was the worst winter of learning that the yeshiva ever had, because the guys didn't have a proper break. Because after Yom Kippur, they didn't take a break. The break is necessary. There's a reason why you have a break this month. Use it positively. It's important. It's not the destruction of Torah. It's the implementation of Torah. Set yourself goals and ask yourself, I'll read this book on Jewish history. I'll read this biography. I'll visit this uncle. I'll go on this trip. Choose your friends and build trips with him. You'll build relationships. You can actually solidify everything you've learned. And don't give yourself high standards. Don't kick yourself if you didn't get up every morning for Shacharis. You should. But Beseder, be lenient, be lax with yourself. Give yourself goals you can live up to. And then continue growing. Continued growth doesn't mean I have to set new higher goals. It means I have to set realistic goals for now. Small goals. But let's set realistic goals. And again, I think if you choose a minute a day that you learn halacha, a minute in the morning, a minute and a half at night where you learn parsha, slowly, you'll see your life will continue a Torah lifestyle. And I recommend develop relationships now. Call your rabbis, go ask them when you could come by. Go visit the rabbis at home, see their homes, see how you could help them clean for Pesach if you can. I helped many big rabbis clean for Pesach, and I learned more from the time when I was in their house cleaning than I could have learned from reading a book. Gobim Samech Hayalim, yeah, Ari's inviting you.